I would recommend get highly organized with your documents and keep great records. If you're going to itemize for your family, keep great records. Talk to your enrolled agent, talk to your CPA, and if you have small businesses where you're itemizing deductions, what small business doesn't, have it highly organized and have notes for everything. And remember the five W's: who, what, when, where, and why. And I encourage you to reach out to your CPA enrolled agent and be prepared, be proactive so you're not in a reactive mode, so that when you do experience an audit, because we've been told there's definitely going to be an increase in audits, and so therefore still unlikely in many ways, but your chances have increased, and we've been told if you're doing really well and if you exceed over 400, for sure expect it if you exceeded 400,000. And so I would just have a really good plan, get really highly organized.
You're listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green. Please stay tuned to the end of the episode to hear boring yet important disclosures. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ken Green, the host of the Engineer of Finance podcast. And today's episode is titled The Inflation Non-Reduction Act. It seems like over the last few years, it just seems to get a little bit more extreme on a weekly basis. Instead of being apprehensive to read the news, I think I'm just more and more terrified to watch, listen, or read the news. And it seems like the ideas being presented to me are just more and more insane and disconnected. And I do think there's going to be a pause button soon, and things are going to start coming back to, I would argue, as more reality and sane solutions. However, at this time, it's just what it is. And I think it's important for us to understand what's going on and be prepared. And that's why I can't help but watch the news. Although I do know when I hit the pause button listening to the news and watching and reading it, I do live a lot, I have a lot happier life. And this episode is definitely in reaction to the bill that's titled the Inflation Reduction Act that does appear will become law real shortly. And unfortunately, and I'll have a bunch of references to, I think, some good articles at the end of this episode that kind of detail why I don't think it's going to do anything to help inflation. Unfortunately, I think it's at least the inflation rate. And I think it's probably will just make our pain just a tad worse and maybe a lot worse for unfortunate people who feel more and more audits that are probably more likely, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. And so anyway, the best way to reduce inflation is for our government to live within its means, reduce debt, not print more and more money, and that would be the best way to reduce inflation. You want to get rid of inflation, why don't you start, and I don't mean literally burn money, stop producing more and more money, devaluing our currency, and make it more valuable. And I don't know at this moment of time, that would be the best solution, because that could have some unintended consequences on a worldwide basis. But that would be the best way to reduce inflation and have it go the opposite way. Just make our dollar worth a lot more and give us our purchasing power back. I'm not going to get that wish at this time. And so I thought I'd just talk a little bit about what this bill is intended to do. And I also can say, oh, and here's a positive, by the way. The positive is, although I don't think that the bill will reduce inflation, I do like the fact that our representatives, our senators, our Congress understand and are feeling our pain. And they understand we're not happy with this inflation. Everyone has felt its impacts and understands it at the grocery store and energy, fuel. And they had the courtesy to recognize it with this title. Unfortunately, a lot of bills, whatever they're titled, and you see this at a federal level and a local level. Here we have, you know, voting's coming up in November. And quite often these proposed bills in Nevada that we get to vote on and see if we want this to become legislation, quite often the title is the exact opposite of what it really is, which is so frustrating. And you have to have a law degree to understand what these proposed bills, these bills could do or will do. And so anyway, going back to the name of this bill and what it's intended to do, it's really just one big focus on climate focus and healthcare and changing our tax code. And unfortunately, I don't think any of it's going to reduce our inflation rate. The best way that will occur is, less and less money gets printed. Our government at a federal and local level has to start tightening its belt and living within its means. So I would love a bill that's titled Live Within Our Means Budget or a Balanced Budget Bill. That would have the greatest impact on our quality of life, reducing a lot of the waste, having more efficiencies at a federal and local level. That would have the best impact to improve our lives. Unfortunately, still politicians, our lawmakers have this propensity to want to keep buying more and more votes by spending more money. And at some point in time, it's just all going to stop. And so I'm praying for a new direction and a new approach soon and see if we can just get more sanity. And instead of more and more laws and more rules, maybe less and less laws and more freedom. NPR has a good article talking about this bill. Taxfoundation.org has a good article talking about this bill. And so I'll have references so you can read those if you like to. I think they provide some good information. I bias in a way that I really like taxfoundation.org. I think they put really good information out, and I do the NPR article. And I do agree with the conclusion from the Tax Foundation and what NPR had to say is it's really not going to do anything for inflation, could worsen it, really. And this is just one big push for focus on climate, healthcare, and changing the tax code. And in a little bit alarming way, I didn't like hearing that initially 87,000 IRS employees are estimated that additional employees will be hired. And that's just also, and I'll reference it because tied to that, and I know news is meant to just scare the heck out of us, but I'll have a National Review article that referenced there is an ad from the IRS, which they just recently took down, that, hey, are you willing to carry a firearm and use deadly force? And well, what in the world are a bunch of accountants and auditors need more guns for? That's like, why are you really creating an army? And there's more to it, and they took it down because it just wasn't very sensitive at this time. Because when you hear 87,000 more employees, to me, being a small business owner and taking itemized deductions, this just, you're going to get questioned from time to time. And I've watched numerous business owners, I've seen it personally and in my family. Audits are not, they're just not a fun process. They consume your time. You could have done everything right, but you're still not going to get the most important thing back, which is our time. There's an opportunity cost, and you can never get your time back. And so I was initially like, and when I hear leadership and our president saying, hey, we're only going to target households that make $400,000 or more, we've heard this language all our lives. That's not, I do not believe that. He might believe it, but I don't believe it. I don't think that's true. I think a lot more families, more middle-income families making a lot less than $400,000, there'll be an increase on audits. And it's just that time suck just sucks. There's just got to be a better way to play the game. And that's why I'm a huge fan of the fair tax or a national consumption tax, where instead of there being an internal revenue service where all these officials, government employees have to dive into our private lives, I don't think they enjoy it. Most of them, if they're good people, they're not going to enjoy it. It's a job. It's just what they're paid to do. And probably not nice people probably love it. Jealous people. But I would say the majority are good people and probably don't enjoy diving into private lives and small businesses and doing these audits. It's their job. That's what they've been employed to do. And that's why I'm a huge fan of a flat tax or even better, a fair tax, where it's a national consumption tax. We just all pay our sales tax. And this way, we're not penalized for getting after it or having these hurdles or psychological hurdles to produce more and create more revenue. We just have this new hurdle where it's, you know what? Maybe you tailor and pull back your consumption a little bit and you don't have to buy every bright and shiny object, because when you do, hey, you've got a national and state sales tax to think about, and there's an opportunity cost to that. But this way, at least it is voluntary. You're making that choice as opposed to a bunch of strangers diving into your personal life. So having 86,000 plus or 87,000 new IRS employees sounds very scary at first to me. At the same time, there definitely appears to be understaffing, because getting any type of service right now from the IRS, a lot, it all started with COVID. At least in my experience, it's just been, you can't, the phones don't get answered. You don't get called back. I can't imagine how far back they are, the backlog. And so by having more employees, that might be able to allow the Internal Revenue Service provide a lot better services for trying to get tax documents that are needed and help. And so there is a positive to this, because there could just be a lot more efficiency and communication and help, so we can keep moving forward instead of, hey, where are our tax returns? Where are these pieces? What's going on with extensions, etc.? So it could be a good thing, although the gun piece and the ammo piece was just a little bit alarming, and I'll have the link showing that discussion. And so here's a couple takeaways. The bill is not going to reduce inflation, in my opinion. I do think we could get much better service from the IRS. And yeah, we're probably going to see a lot more audits increase, and not just for the households that make over $400,000. The big corporations, they have the machines and accountants and CPAs and tax attorneys behind them, so they're not going to really, they get audited every year. That's just part of the game, and they understand it. They're not fearful of audits. Small business owners, it could have a huge impact, and that's typically middle-income families. And so if you're doing itemized deductions, yeah, there's probably a greater increase. And I'll just go back to a recent episode I did. I would recommend get highly organized with your documents and keep great records. If you're going to itemize for your family, keep great records. Talk to your enrolled agent, talk to your CPA. And if you have small businesses where you're itemizing deductions, what small business doesn't, have it highly organized and have notes for everything. And remember the five W's: who, what, when, where, and why. And I encourage you to reach out to your CPA enrolled agent and be prepared, be proactive so you're not in a reactive mode, so that when you do experience an audit, because we've been told there's definitely going to be an increase in audits, and so therefore still unlikely in many ways, but your chances have increased, and we've been told if you're doing really well and if you exceed over 400, for sure expect it if you exceeded 400,000. And so I would just have a really good plan, get really highly organized on your record so that the documentation's there and the audit can go as efficiently as possible instead of scrambling for everything. And hopefully that'll create more peace of mind. And that is it for this episode. Thank you for listening. I love doing this episode every week, and I look forward to next week's episode. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice. The content is intended for United States audiences only. Opinions expressed are as of the date of this publication, and such opinions are subject to change. Green Financial and Insurance Services Limited, Green, is not responsible for any trading decisions, damages, or other claimed losses resulting from or related to the content presented. Green makes no representation as to the completeness or accuracy of the information presented. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Forecasts are not a reliable indicator of future results. Investors should be aware of the risks associated with investing. All investments are subject to investment risk, including possible loss of capital. Investors should seriously consider if an investment is suitable for them by referencing their own financial position, investment objectives, and risk profile. Consult with a qualified financial advisor as necessary before making any investment decisions. Thank you for listening to the Engineer of Finance podcast with Ken Green.